I think everybody's figured out we're not the typical church here, and there's probably not another church within a two-hour drive of here going to talk about stuff like this. I know because I never talked about stuff like this in church. You know, one thing, I think we have the idea that economics and money matters are not spiritual, and I think the exact opposite is true. I think that what you do with your money is one of the greatest indicators of where you're at spiritually. You know, are you tithing? Are you giving to missions? Are you giving beyond the tithe to bless the Lord? That's all indicative of what you put your trust in. And if you put your trust in God, then you give regularly, and it's just an important part of your life. But it's not just about giving. It's also about how we spend our money and how we take care of our families. You know, Paul told Timothy that if a man didn't take care of his family, he was worse than an infidel. In other words, he said, if a man's not providing for his family appropriately, then it's a spiritual problem. And so I think that's kind of a unique thing. So I don't want you to think we're just really going off the beam here if you expect us to always just talk about Scripture and never talk about what's going on in the real world, because I believe Scripture helps us know how to handle the real world. So I think you've got to talk about both. And my theme verse through all this is, this is like the third in a series of little lessons or updates on the economy. Now, my theme verse has been this one in Jeremiah 17, where it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and his heart departeth from the Lord. For he'll be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." And that's such an amazing passage to me, because we have an entire society, many of whom think that the government's supposed to solve all their problems. Now, most of you guys are relatively intelligent. Does the government solve all your problems, anybody? Okay, good. I don't have to overcome that delusion then. That's a good thing. But there's a lot of people who expect the government to solve all their problems. And God says in His Word, if you trust government to solve all your problems, not only are you going to be let down, but you're going to be like a withered shrub out in the middle of the desert where there's no water and they're surrounded by weeds and the ground's cracked open and drying, and that's what you're going to be. But, you know, if you trust in the Lord, then He's going to take care of you. And, of course, my favorite verses in the Old Testament are these verses that end the book of Habakkuk that just say basically, hey, there's no olive trees, no olives on the olive tree, and there's no, you know, figs on the tree, and there's no fruit on the vine, and there's no cattle in the stalls. And in other words, if everything's going wrong, yet will I praise the Lord. And I love that. He says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll joy in the God of my salvation. He's my strength. He'll make my feet like the hinds feet, make me to walk upon the high places. I think those are my favorite verses in the Old Testament. And we're coming into some tough times, and that's hard for us as American Christians, because we think that being American Christians is about being comfortable. I will remind you that Paul said, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we don't have a right to expect that life is going to be easy from now on. And there are certain economic conditions that are coming that really point out the wisdom of this verse. This is the middle verse in the Bible. And it's of all the, you know, if you count from the front and the back and go a verse at a time, this is one you wind up at. Very smack dab middle verse in the Bible. 15,537 verses before it and 15,537 verses after it. And it says that it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And so the main thing, I don't want to disturb any of your peace when I talk about what's happening in the economy. You need to cling on to this verse. Don't trust in man, trust in the Lord. The good news is my Bible still says I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. So I'm encouraged by that, to know that no matter what happens, God's taking care of me and my family. On the flip side, I also want us to be prepared as a church to help those who are not prepared. And so that's why, you know, at the conclusion of this, I want us just to have a little talk about how we could start a pantry ministry, and I'll kind of give you my ideas for it, and then we'll find out, listening to you, whether, you know, I've talked to a few people about it, and they seem to be favorable toward it, but after we talk to you, we'll maybe find out if this is just my idea or if it's something God's doing in our midst. We only want to do what God wants us to do. But let me talk about recent history here. Some things, a lot of which you know, some of which I'm sure you don't know, but some recent falling dominoes. Now, that diagram on the left-hand side of the screen there is an amazing diagram. As I remember, it came out in the New York Times. Yes, it did. And it shows how the economy in Europe related together. And I know you can't read all that, so let me just highlight a few things. up here at the top in that little blue circle is Greece. Well, Greece received money from Italy, and they received money from Ireland. They also loaned money to Ireland at one point. Nations are always loaning and borrowing from each other. And they had a whole bunch of debts that they owed to other people. Well, Greece got to the place where they couldn't make their debt payments. They got so much in debt they could no longer make the payments. Now, some of us have had that same experience. Or you know somebody that has got so far in debt they couldn't make the payments. When it happens to a nation, it's pretty bad. And what nations tend to do is they have their central bank borrow more money from another nation so that they can print more currency so that they can keep on keeping on. Well, Greece finally got to the place. They'd already done that once or twice. Finally, they had to go back to the European Union and say, we just can't pay our bills. And the European Union says, well, you can, we'll give you a little bit longer to start making payments, but you've got to invoke these austerity measures. Austerity measures was code words for saying you got to kick off some of your social programs that you couldn't afford in the first place. So all the things the government was doing for people, you know, giving them free education or, you know, welfare, child support, things of this nature, they had to quit doing it. Well, what resulted was riots in Greece, and you all saw that on the news. Now, because they couldn't pay their debt back, they owed Italy some money, and Italy was already on the brink. Italy is now in the same boat. So Italy's gone bankrupt as well. And now that Italy has gone bankrupt and they're in the midst, they actually closed their stock market here one day about 2 weeks ago because the market was going down so fast. Not a single news network over here reported it. It got a paragraph about that long in the Wall Street Journal. But it is a big deal when you close a country's stock market. It means that they're near economic collapse. Well, Italy, of course, owed Spain a lot of money. Now Spain, this week, is teetering on the brink of the same disaster. And, of course, you have seen the riots happening in London, and everybody wants you to believe that the riots that are happening in London are due to an incident in which somebody was killed in an interaction with the police there. But the reality is that that is a country where they don't have the right to bear arms, which is one reason they have so much crime. And also, it's a country where, economically, it's the pits. And when you combine a high rate of crime with a bad economy, riots are just around the corner. Well, these are the dominoes that are falling in Europe, but our nation isn't immune to this just because it's in Europe, because we're closely tied in with all these nations as well. And so we've lent them money that they can't repay to us now. And that makes it hard for us to pay our bills with people we borrowed money from. So what's happening is all these nations have no alternative but just to print more money. Now, there's only a certain amount of products and goods and services in a system at the same time. So when you have to print more money, it means that every dollar that's out there that's already printed is now worth less than it was before you started printing money. And if you keep making it worth less and worth less and worth less, someday it's just worthless. Okay? And that's where we're at. The reality is that the dollar bills you have in your purse or your billfold are simply receipts for IOU notes. Because basically what happens is our government, when they need money, they go to the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve writes a check on nothing. It's a bad check. There's nothing to back up that money, but they write a check. Then the government says, we've got money, and they pay their bills. So it's like somebody gives the federal government a bad check, and then the government goes and pays all their bills, and then every month the government goes back and borrows more money, and the Federal Reserve writes another bad check. And this is how they make money. Now, you and I do that. They send us to jail for counterfeiting or for check kiting. But the government gets away with it. Now, you also heard the big news recently how America's credit rating was downgraded. It should have happened a long time ago. America's not been credit worthy for years. And in fact, it's in 2008. They really should have dealt with this then. But not only was the credit rating, by the way, this is the first time in U.S. history that the nation's credit rating has been downgraded. This hadn't happened before. So this is ugly. And then this last week, Standard & Poor's also came and downgraded the credit ratings of several agencies, including Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are mortgage agencies that are, you know, government buys mortgages and things of that nature. The stock market has gone down over 500 points last week. Now, the interesting thing about that makes that more significant is when the government saw that the stock market was plummeting and we were headed for a real disaster, our United States government went out last week and bought a bunch of stocks out of the stock market to artificially bring it back up. So if you watch the stock market last Monday, it was going in the toilet. Tuesday, it's up and almost fully recovered. It was because the government printed money, written on a bad check from the Federal Reserve, to buy stocks, to prop up the stock market, so we'd all have the illusion that everything is okay. Okay? So this is they're trying to keep us under the illusion so we don't all panic. Okay? it's time to panic, okay, in terms of economics, but that's what they wanted us to do. Now, the lower the stock market goes down, and it did after that one-day rally, it started coming back down again, because it's past the point the government can prop it up anymore. And so the lower it goes, the more likely it is that the Federal Reserve is going to do another round of what they call quantitative easing. So we've had QE1 and QE2. The next round will be QE3, unless they've got some new name for it to disguise it. But basically what it is, the Federal Reserve starts printing a bunch more money and then gives the government a big flood of money so the government can pay all of its bills. Now, if that's the case, though, when they print more money, our money's worth less. When they print a new dollar, the government gets the full value of that dollar. But it steals from all of our dollars. Now, if you understand economics, you need to, and if you don't, you need to get this one little point. When the government prints more money, that is the most, that is the greatest tax that you will pay. Now, you may be in the 15% tax bracket, you may be in the 20% tax bracket, you could be in a 30% tax bracket, but our purchasing power has fallen like 54% in the last 2 years. When they print money, they steal the value of your dollar. That's why you notice things are costing more. Now, my wife, we eat fish every now and then. She buys 4-pound packages of fish. She went to the store the other day, paid the same price for a package of fish, but now it's only 3 pounds instead of 4 pounds. That's called hidden inflation, because you don't notice the price is going up, and you have to have your thinker on to realize that the quantity is going down. Price is the same, the quantity's gone down. That 36-ounce can of coffee, it's only 28 ounces now. Okay, 4-pound thing of fish, only 3 pounds of fish. And but people, they're used to the same price tag, so a lot of them aren't thinking, they're not aware, but a lot of you ladies are shrewd, and you know that stuff's getting more expensive, and the packages are getting smaller. The way I always used to measure it was how many dollars per bag of groceries. I remember the day when a bag of groceries was about $5 a bag. Then it was $10 a bag. Now what they did, instead of the big paper bags that hold $10 of groceries, you got a little plastic bag, and it holds $20 worth of groceries, you know. And so stuff is changing. So this inflation's happening. Now, the thing is, I believe God intends for Christians to prosper, not in the sense that I'm not going to tell you that if you'll give the pastor here a check for $25, that he'll give a prayer cloth and get back to you and bless it, and you can put it somewhere, and God's going to send you riches. Okay, we're not going to do the whole prayer cloth thing. Okay, but I believe that God wants us to have wisdom to deal with our finances. Now, by the way, this is one of the purposes in the Old Testament. God established the tithe. He says, if you tithe, you demonstrate fear of the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, the tithe is still mentioned, and it's commended, but God doesn't really want us to focus on being tithers. He wants us to focus on being sowers. There's the law of sowing and reaping. And so, you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. God wants us to get beyond the tithe and give even more, but under grace than they did under the Old Testament. But he also wants us to be wise. See, if you have the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of what? Wisdom. And if you have wisdom, you'll spend your money wisely. That's why even if you do practice the tithe, 90% spent wisely goes further than 100% spent foolishly. Anybody ever prove that besides me? Okay. Yeah, it definitely works that way. All right. But here's the deal. Things are going up. And if you look at the actual prices of things, things have gone up. So, for example, real estate prices in general have gone up. They've kind of come down, kind of gone up again. You might look at a house that you bought 10 years ago, and it might sell for more today, and you might say, oh, I'm making money on that. Meanwhile, gold is really shooting up right now. I went to bed Wednesday night. When I went to bed, gold was $1,838 an ounce. I woke up Thursday morning, it was $1,882 an ounce, which was a new all-time high. So it went up a bunch just in one night. The days are coming, some of my financial friends tell me, that we're going to see gold go up $100 a day in the near future, not too far away. The interesting thing is if things are going up and you're invested in this one, things don't go up forever. They go up in cycles. Last time gold was high Jimmy Carter was president. It's the last time it was really high. Now, the fascinating thing about that, in the 80s when it was high, it got up to a price that today, if you adjusted it for inflation, it would be the equivalent of $5,400 an ounce. So gold's got a long way to go just to get even to where we were in the 1980s. So it's not nearly as high. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. So adjusted for inflation today, because inflation's been so high, it's going to reach $5,400 an ounce. Okay? Now, the point is if you were invested in something that's going up really fast, then when you sell it, because eventually gold's not going to go up anymore. Let me tell you something. I don't want gold or silver. They're just metals. That's all they are. They don't have any intrinsic value of their own, but if you're up here, then it's time to sell. You'll have more money to buy the stuff that's down here. So in other words, you sell it for real wealth. Real wealth is land and property, farming, okay? And so, you know, if gold's going really up and you had a bunch of gold, you could go out and buy a bunch of farmland really cheap. And the day's coming when you're going to be able to pay for gold or pay for farmland with silver and gold, because it's going to be the new monetary exchange. Silver and gold are money. Paper dollars are currency. There's a difference. Currency's only worth what we agree that it's worth, but gold and silver have intrinsic value of their own. Now, if you do it the other way, if you're invested down here and it goes up, and when you go to sell, you can't buy nearly as much. So what you want to do is be on the right side of this V that's going on. Now, interesting little chart here. Let me explain what this chart is so you can kind of look at it. The blue line that you see here represents the stock market. And so the stock market came up there, and then it came up again. Now it's cratering. The red line that you see there is the price of gold. And the price of gold coming down here, it went way up high back in the 80s, then it came back down here, then it sunk to a low, then it went up here, sunk down to a real low, and now it's skyrocketing. You notice how they're inversely proportional to each other? They're just opposite. They move opposite one another. When stocks go up, gold goes down. When gold goes up, stocks go down. Okay? Interesting thing is, if you, right here, decided, hey, I see gold's going up, so you buy gold, and then right there, gold's about to dive again, but you switch horses in the middle of the stream, and now you buy stocks, you ride that up, now stocks are about to go down, and gold's going up, so you sell your stocks and you buy gold, this is how you break out of this pattern. Okay? What you do is you trade in the right things at the right time. Now, interesting enough, the Bible says the way that you make money is to buy, sell, and get gain. So you buy precious metals, you sell them later, you take the gain. You buy stocks, you sell them later, you get the gain. Okay, buy, selling, getting gain. You make a product, you pay wholesale parts, you know, prices for the parts, you make the product, you sell the product, you get gain. Okay, that's the best way to make money. Not the lottery. Okay? But you buy, sell, get gain. So this is a biblical way to make an increase, and you what you do is you have to be in the right thing at the right time. All right. I want you to look at silver. This is charged silver, and the first thing you'll notice is that silver, you know, was down here 2-3 years ago. It was down around $5 a share, or $5 an ounce, excuse me. A lot of us bought into silver when it was around, you know, 30, 35. It's up to around 43 at the moment, okay? But the interesting thing on this chart is this little formation right here. This is called a head and shoulders. Now, it's upside down. But what you notice is this is the head, and these are the two shoulders. There's a shoulder on either side of it. Now, if it's flipped right upside, right side up, this is called a head and shoulders formation on a stock chart or a precious metals chart. Upside down, it's called an inverted head and shoulders. When you see that formation take place in the price of something, it means it's due for a major change. And so you look at the direction of the head, and it's fixing to take off in the other direction. So since the head's pointed down here, and we've got this head and shoulders, what you can expect to see on silver is it's going to start taking off. And it's already up to about here, so it's already done that, and it's going to go a lot higher. Here's gold. We have a little bit of a head and shoulders formation right here. This is gold since 2007, around $600 an ounce, and it's actually higher than this now because it closed at about $1,852 an ounce Friday afternoon, but it was up to $1,882 Friday morning. So gold is going up. Meanwhile, the Dow Jones is going down. So here's an interesting chart. What this chart shows you is that if you had gold, how many ounces of gold would buy a share of the Dow Jones Index, okay, of the stocks? And so basically, there's a couple of lines here. There's a trend line, and then this is called the Dow to gold ratio. This is how much of the Dow is worth how much of the gold. So what you see here is up here, right here, about 1980, it's right after 1979. Again, this is the end of Jimmy Carter's presidency. He started his presidency in 1976. At the end of his presidency in 1980, gold was very high. So the Dow Jones, if you owned one share of the Dow Jones Industrial Index, you can only buy 1 ounce of gold. So 1 ounce of gold was worth 1 share of the Dow Jones Index. Now what happened is it shot way up here at 2000, which is right, you know, before our, you know, we got this big financial crisis. And one share of, or it would take 43.7 shares of the Dow to buy 1 ounce of gold. No, I said that backwards. It would take, this is one ounce of gold, one Dow. Up here it rose, stocks took a big rise over the 1980s. So 1 ounce of gold would have bought 43.7 shares of the Dow. Now you'll notice it's coming way back down, and it's getting lower and lower every day. So what's happening is, pretty soon we're going to get back to the place where you could buy a share of the Dow Jones Index for anywhere between 1 to 4 ounces of gold. It's going to get ridiculous. And so what's happening is stocks are plummeting and gold is superheating at the same time. Now, a little bit of interesting news that happened this week. Y'all know, you've heard what you heard in Libya about what we're doing to Muammar Gaddafi. You know, none of us like him. He's been evil for a lot of years. We'd love to see him gone. But basically the U.S. and U.N. got together and they said, okay, we want to make it hard for Gaddafi to stay in charge where he's at. And so the first thing they did is they went to all the foreign nations and convinced them to freeze all of his assets. So overnight, Gaddafi lost $50 billion. Billion with a B. So that over one night, he could no longer go get all his gold and whatnot, so he doesn't have as much capital to try to fight to maintain his place as dictator. Well, down in Venezuela, our good buddy Hugo Chavez, that is happy to sell us oil at the same time he wants to kill us all, Hugo Chavez got worried about this because Hugo Chavez said, what if they do that to me? Because he knows he's no friend of the U.S. either. So what happens if we were to take away, because he had a bunch of gold certificates and he had gold in vaults all over the world. So he, this last week, just a few days ago, sent to redeem all of his gold certificates, and he says, I don't want any paper gold anymore. I want the physical gold, and I want it delivered to Venezuela. And he realizes that getting that much gold, because Venezuela is the fifth largest holder of gold certificates in the world. He realizes getting that much physical gold might be a problem for the central bank to fit it on their vault. So he has generously offered to allow them to put the gold in his presidential palace if there's not enough room in the central bank. Now, that's an unselfish guy if I ever heard one. Okay, so what's happening is that means there is suddenly a huge demand, because this is the fifth largest holder of gold certificates in the world, now saying, I don't want any paper, I want all the physical gold, so we have a problem. And that is, there's not all that much physical gold out there. And with him taking possession, with him taking possession of all that physical gold, guess what that's going to do to the price of gold? It makes the available gold that's still out there much more rare, much more of a commodity. It's going to send gold through the ceiling. So gold certificates were oversold. Some major gold dealers, goldmoney.com, one of the biggest gold dealers, they went 2 months this year without having a single ounce of gold in their vault. They sold it all. And by the way, their mission is to get as much gold and silver in the hands of the middle class as possible, because they don't want to see the middle class disappear. And that's me, okay, if you're wondering. So the problem is we created a new condition called backwardation. Now you'll hear guys talk about this. I wondered for a long time what backwardation is. Here's what it is. It means that the current price for gold is higher than the contracts to deliver gold 2 or 3 months from now are. Because people bought these contracts a long time ago. They never anticipated gold would go up this high. What that means is that it's going to be very, very difficult to get hold of physical gold, because the prices, everybody's going to be wanting to grab it while it's on the way up. And the contracts, the people aren't going to want to fulfill the contracts because of the low price they're getting. They're losing money to fulfill the contracts. And so this means it's very hard to get your hands on physical gold in the future. Now, backwardation has happened before, but it only happens for about 5 to 10 minutes. And then the market resolves itself and goes away. We've had it for weeks now. This is not going away. This is a big, huge deal in the world of economics to have backwardation on gold that's lasting for weeks at a time. So it's going up. So I received two emails from millionaire friends this week who both said this is the beginning of the end as far as the economics go. Now, gold shortage, it's going to go up in price. Let me tell you, these things are limited. There's only 1/3 of an ounce of gold per person in the world. There's only 1/14 of an ounce of silver per person in the world. Silver is actually more rare than gold is. There are some people who theorize at some point in the future silver could actually be worth more than gold, which would blow all of our minds. It's never happened in history, but we now have far less of it than we've ever had before. So Where will prices go? This was one of the most amazing things that happened recently. J.P. Morgan, they came out, this big, huge stock investment firm, they came out and admitted that gold was going to go to $2,300 an ounce by the end of the year. It's not to their advantage to admit that. They don't want to admit that. In fact, is they're undercutting the number about where it could be because they don't really want you rushing out to buy gold. They make money when you do stocks, not when you do gold. This really hurts them, okay? And J.P. Morgan, by the way, when some of the other big stock companies went bankrupt 2 years ago, they inherited some of the debts of these other stock companies. And J.P. Morgan, if the price of silver goes to about $60 an ounce, J.P. Morgan will go bankrupt because they own shorts on silver. Okay? So just to get on the same level, that's a conservative estimate, just to go to the same level where gold was in 1980, it has to go to $5,400 an ounce. Some people are saying that based on the Dow Jones gold ratio, as the market's coming down, that gold could actually get as high as $20,000 an ounce. So you got a big range there. Nobody knows. Nobody has a crystal ball, and God doesn't need one. But it is going up. Okay? Silver, the conservative estimates are that it will eventually go to $100. Now, the government has kept it suppressed. They've used an organization called COMEX to keep suppressing commodities. But it's going up now in spite of it. Now Hong Kong has a mercantile exchange, and so it's harder for the U.S. to suppress prices since they can trade in Asia as well. But it's going to go up a long ways, too. So, game plan. Obviously, again, I'm not a financial counselor nor the son of one. So let me just give you kind of my thoughts on it, and it will be worth. It will be worth these thoughts I'm going to give you will be worth at least what you paid to get them today. Okay. First of all, write this down. Write down that link. So on a bulletin, on something. This is a link to a video on the internet. It's an hour and 21 minutes long. Chris watched it last night, and he agreed with me that it's better than an economics education in college. You will learn more in an hour and 21 minutes there than you'll learn in a semester of Economics 101 at your local college. Yes? Okay. It's http://ow.ly, so it's like owly, like a bird owl, ow.ly/68. And most URLs are not case sensitive, but this one is. So you needed a capital H, capital Y, capital B. So that's Hotel Yankee Bravo, all caps. Yes, sir. Thank you. I posted that on the church Facebook feed this morning. So if you forget what it is, if you go to the Facebook page for First Baptist Church Las Colinas, it's there. If you are on Twitter, you go to my Twitter page. Just look for R. Roland in Twitter.com. So Twitter.com/R. Roland, you'll see the link there. If you go to my Facebook page for Robert Roland, just hunt for that on Facebook. It's posted there. So if you can't see it, can't write it down, or you forget it, just go to either or the churches. The church has Twitter as well, so you can go look for First Baptist Church Las Colinas on Twitter. It's on there. So it's posted in all those locations. It's a very important video. You need to watch it. I did hear one mild profanity in the start. I don't think I heard any more. I didn't watch all the way to the end, but he is probably one of the best communicators and best teachers you'll ever hear, and he explains about money, and your kids should, if you choose to let them listen to it, they should get economics credit for it. I mean, it's school. You should really hear that. All right, so that's a big deal. So I would do that first. Again, you really don't want a lot of debts hanging around. I will tell you, though, if it comes down between me feeding my family and making a payment on time, the family's eating first, okay? But we also want to keep a good reputation as Christians, so we ought to pay our bills, and so we ought to try to get out of debt. Now, normally, in the past, because I've been a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University counselor, and I would encourage you, get completely out of debt. What I would tell you today is if you can pay the debts off within 2 to 4 months, do it. If you can't pay it off in 2 to 4 months, just make the minimum payment on it. Use every other dollar you can to invest in I think, gold and silver, personally, because they'll go up. If you have any debts, like credit card, that can change the interest rate on a moment's notice, those are the ones that need to go first, because I guarantee those interest rates are about to go straight up. Okay? If you have a low interest rate, like on a mortgage or something, that's not a big priority right now. Keep it low. Okay? But don't worry about trying to get out of it. You need to study. Look for stuff you understand. You ought to watch that video because it'll explain about economics, explain about gold and silver, explain about a lot of other things. There's things you can do. I would not right now purchase stock at all because the market's fixing to really tank. But later, when gold is kind of peaked and stocks are coming back up, you can look for stocks that have what's called dividend reinvestment programs or DRIPs. And that's a good way to buy some good quality stocks that will give you good income for time to come. But right now, stay out of the stock market entirely. Start a business. One thing you'll discover, nobody has job security. I don't have job security. I had a talk with my boss this last week, and because I've been having some health problems that affected my work, and he assured me not to worry about my job because of that, and I appreciate that. But the reality is I don't have job security. None of you do either. So our security is in God. Don't make security your God, make God your security. Okay, that's important for you to remember. But at the same time, we don't have job security. You need to look for ways to try to develop some other income. Home industry, if you can find something that will make money while you're sleeping, you can do that. Find a need that somebody has, meet it, consider doing some extra things, maybe get some of the older kids, mow lawns, do whatever you have to. Set that money aside, put it in something that's going to go up. Now, as far as investing, there's some other foreign currencies that will do better than the U.S. dollar. Swiss franc has done better recently, but they also had a sell-off. Currencies fluctuate from day to day. And I'll just tell you right now, if you ride the currency thing, it will drive you insane, and you'll lose your peace over it, so I would avoid it. But the Canadian dollar and the British pound are both going to do better than the U.S. dollar because they both charge high interest rates in their country. It makes it hard for their government to borrow money. Meanwhile, we charge 0% here to our government. Our government's borrowing it hand over fist, and consequently, we're in debt up to our eyeballs. So one thing that, if you're interested, is something I'm starting to really figure out now, and it's starting to work for me. And if I can pass the knowledge on to one or two key individuals and they make it work for them too, then I'll be willing to share it with some of you who are interested. But there is a way to trade in gold without owning it. You can put about $125 out there and control 10 ounces of gold, and when it goes up, you make the profit on all 10 ounces of gold without actually ever having to own it, which is a whole lot easier for me to find $125 than it is $18,000. Okay, so I can show some of you how to do that Monday or Sunday night. The market's open on Sunday evening. I went to bed last Sunday night, and I woke up with several hundred dollars more than I went to bed with because of that. Okay, doesn't always work like that. There's caveats, and so if you're interested, I'll share with some of you later what it really looks like. I'm going to try to put a video together giving you instructions. But while gold is going up, you have the ability for every $50 that goes up to make $500 pretty easily, and it's a nice little side income once the gold starts on the trend. The trend is going to be it's going to eventually go up about $100 a day. But I looked. I went back to June 1st. Gold has gone up consistently $7.50 every day. So it's been on a real steady trend. Now, it takes these little spikes in between. But here we are 2 months later, and it's come from $1,500 or something to $1,850 and something. It's going to keep going up. And so, you might want to just watch the gold market, watch the prices, write it down in the book, and or just go to a site that gives you historical prices. And you'd be surprised if you write down the price on Monday and then look 2 weeks from that Monday where it went 2 weeks. Now, can it drop in a week? Sure. But is it likely to drop much? I don't think so. A bunch of people have said it's going to be in a correction and it's going to go back, not be worth much. But everything else I'm seeing says that we're now at a state where it's kind of irreversible. So could it go down $100, $200 by the end of the month? Yeah, possibly could. Is it going to be higher 6 months from now? I just about bet my life on it. Yeah, so I don't know. Like I said, I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't want to give you bad advice, but I do want you to know that the long-term trend is it's got to go up. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to clarify. When you have up there trade in gold, you don't mean trade in gold.
No. I'm talking about there's a way to make money while gold's going up. I'm not talking about selling your jewelry. Okay. Now, there are people who are doing that, but I would encourage you, if you're going to do that, wait. The time will come when you'll be able to sell a few ounces of gold and pay off your mortgage. So that's will be a smart thing to do. So just be aware of that. Right now, gold and silver are about the only things that are mathematically certain to go up. They're going to go up. Other things are going to come down. There's oil could go up. The predictions are that oil over the next 6 months ago, we're at, what, $83 a barrel, I think it is right now, and it's going to go back up to somewhere around $125 a barrel over the next 6 months. But you never know. You know, that kind of thing fluctuates very much with the economy. Just make sure that whatever you invest in, you understand. Make sure you're doing something to prepare. Now, this goes on with the other things is, and that is, you need to be preparing food supplies. It may be hard to go and buy food, and you may need to store stuff. You know, so store some wheat and get you a wheat mill to grind the wheat into flour. You need 220 pounds of wheat per person for a year, for an adult for a year, and you need like 80 pounds of corn per person per year, and there's a certain amount of rice that you need per year. So I'm going to be putting some of that together. We're going to have a little Sunday afternoon session in the fellowship hall about how to store grains and how to pack them properly, and then also how much you need, and kind of give you an idea for planning. You know, if you got a chance to buy extra canned goods and put them away, you should do that. Now, here's the thing. I have never been an out on the end of the broken limb guy predicting panic when the sky is falling, the world's going to come to an end. I am kind of an eternal optimist, but I'm also a realist. And this time, the train's on the track, and I can feel the vibration of the ground, and I see the light, and the horn's really, really loud. Okay, so the train's just about to hit us, so we got to do something to prepare. I think Christians should not only be prepared to take care of their own families, but be prepared to be able to be generous with others and help others who are going through the time, which is why we want to talk about a pantry. But you also need to be prepared for the fact that the world might be very different a year from now. We could have riots here. Now, we have an advantage here in that we have Second Amendment rights, and a lot of people carry guns, so there's a disincentive for a lot of people to be violent. Government wants to take away those rights, so we have to be careful about that. But the point is, I want you to just be aware of the fact that there may be a time that you'll need to be able to move your family to safety. God is your safety, but He also, remember, God, you know, I know God feeds my family, but He also tells me in 1 Timothy that if a man will not work, neither let him eat. Okay, so there's two sides of the coin. God provides for my family, but I have to be the provider. Okay? Same thing with security. God is my security. I believe every word of Psalm 91, and I pray it over my family daily. But I also know that God put me in charge of my family's security, and that means that I need to plan. Let me tell you this. If you store up foods and you never need them, your wife had peace while you had them stored, and she wasn't worried about the future. And that was worth something. If you need them, it's a good thing. Here's the deal. It's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Okay? Just kind of common sense thing here. What's say that? Yeah, please.
Even if you buy the food today, store it, even if nothing happens like that, you still pay less for it.
Yeah, great point. So if you buy the food and store it today, you will have paid less for it than you will a year from now. So if you can store grains, and it's pretty easy to do if you know what you're doing, if you can store grains and you, later, you know, a year from now, you open your 60-pound, 6-pound gallon barrel of, about 48 pounds of red hard winter wheat or golden wheat or whatever, and grind it into flour and make bread, it'll cost you less. You paid less for it today than you would have paid a year from now. Yes, sir. Okay, so that's something I actually do have a couple of. I do believe you should keep your gas tanks full, and I do have some jerry cans of gas in my garage. If you do that, you need to go down to like Northern Tool and Supply or the Tractor Supply, Northern Tool and Equipment or Tractor Supply Company, or even Walmart, and get a. There's a chemical called Stabil, S-T-A-B-I-L. You need to get it. It comes in a deal that it's got one of those little funny little measuring cups built onto the bottle, and you tilt the bottle over, measuring cup fills up, you know, unscrew the cap, and you pour what's in that little cup into a gallon of gas, and then it protects that gallon of gas, and they tell you how to do that. But it'll make your gas last longer. It's always good to have an extra few gallons of gas in case something happens where you can't get to it. As far as water, if you go to Baytech International, B-A-Y-T-E-C, Baytech International on the internet, they actually sell something to keep your water pure, but the reality is if you got one of these big 5-gallon jugs of water, which there's a Walmart near here that's got these aquatainers for, what, about $5, $6?
Yeah, the Walmart right there in MacArthur has aquatainers, so they
5 gallons or six. I think 7 gallons, yeah.
I think it's 7 gallons, which is enough water for the person to be. And they're about $5 up here, and they come in through the creek and move down the square chain, deep creek plastic containers, and they're all stacked.
Yeah, you want to make sure any plastic containers you use, as Richard said, are BPE free, because the BPE can leach into the water. But these aquatainers are. And you can stack them. You don't want to stack more than about 3 high, just because of the weight of the water. A gallon of water weighs 8.2 or 8.8 pounds. 8.8 pounds. So you can imagine you've got 2 or 3 stacked on top of something. You're putting a lot of weight on that bottom container. You're going to see it bulge a little bit. But you turn every container 90 degrees from the one that's underneath it, and it distributes the weight fairly well. But you can just take some Clorox bleach and get you an eyedropper and put 2 or 3 drops of bleach in each one of those. That'll be enough to keep mold and mildew and stuff from growing in there. It's not the best solution, but it's certainly one solution. There's also water purification tablets, other things. The other thing you can do is just put regular water in there and periodically take the water out and refill it with other water. So that's something else that you can do. What I would recommend you do, there is a whole article, if you go to a site called efoodsdirect.com, there's a whole article on efoodsdirect.com about how to store water, and it gives you 2 or 3 alternatives for how to do that. So that's a good question. The other thing is, you know, just having wells is a great idea. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I know what colloidal silver is good for microorganisms, you know, keeping it from growing. I don't know if that would work for everything or not, but that's a good idea. So, you know, that's something you might want to research on the Internet. I hope, you know, I kind of find it hard in my American frame of mind to believe that I'm ever going to be without water. But, you know, I'm going to, you know, prepare for the eventuality anyway. It's a smart idea just to have some in the trunk of your car, because times your radiator needs it if nobody else does. Now, so the thing is, be prepared. You know, obviously, garden, and don't just let Natalie talk to you about it. You've got to actually get out and do it. I would encourage you to keep as little money in the bank in currency as possible. You need to try as well as possible with you to buy precious metals. Gold's just too expensive to buy. However, there is a new savings account where you can save in gold. And what they do is every time you make a deposit of currency, they issue a little, it looks like a credit card, but it has a half gram of gold on the card. So their little cards has a half gram of gold on the card. They're about $40 a piece right now. And you can carry that with you and exchange that in the place of currency someday, because it's real gold. So that's kind of an interesting idea. Be careful about leaving real gold and silver in a bank vault, because if the banks close, which some of them are going to do, if the banks close, you may have a hard time getting in to get to your safe deposit box. Don't keep it there. Keep it somewhere else. I'm going to be teaching a course soon called Refuse to be a Victim, and it's just it's an NRA course that talks about how to be safe. It's like $25 to take the course, not a big deal. I especially recommend for your guys that you get your wives to come take the course. It was originally designed for women. However, it's for women and men. Just teaching you some basic things about how to be alert, be safe, be alert to danger. We all need to know how to take better care of ourselves, and especially our children. Think about what other safety measures you need. But here's the big thing. We need to start thinking now about how can we minister to others. I have a job to take care of my family. I have to do that first, but I also have a responsibility as a Christian to be able to be in a position to minister to others in the future. And so first thing is, God never has a financial crisis. We need to understand that. He's never hurting. He will always own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he's not worried about the hay to feed them. Okay? So just remember where your security is and prepare to...